and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this dynamic message, you will be empowered and equipped to gain access and insight to God's alternative plan and purpose for your life. The Archbishop gives deep spiritual truths and key knowledge for answered prayer and your divine turnaround. Uncover a new dimension of prophetic intercession with the Archbishop's book, Enforcing Prophetic Decrees, Volume 2. Secure yours now at ndwministries.org. Know today that this is your word of edification. Be strengthened as you listen.
God always has an alternative. And it doesn't matter where you find yourself, what condition you find yourself in, and what's going on with you, I want you to believe that in eternity before time, God made an alternative for that situation before you were born. Is anybody hearing me? If you're hearing me, shout yes. The Bible said there is no temptation that has overtaken you but such as is common unto man. So what you are going through, someone else is facing the same thing. The only thing is that you may not know what others are going through, so you might think you are the only one going through what you're going through, but there are others going through what you're going through and even more. But the Bible said that God is faithful, who with the temptation will make a way of escape. I want you to look at somebody and say, there is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. Yes, there is a way of escape. If the enemy thinks he has you where he wants you to be, I announce to the enemy that he's a liar. Somebody say the devil is a liar. Do you see when Jesus was hung on the cross, Jesus bled at seven areas of his body. But I need to tell you that when he hung on the cross, the powers of darkness believed that they had him where they wanted him to be. They thought they had the upper hand, but God was making a fool out of the enemy. Is anybody hearing me? When he cried and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, the demons of hell, they were happy and they believed that, yes, we have won. But I came to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it wasn't the devil or the Jews or the Romans that crucified Jesus. It was God himself that crucified him. The Bible said it pleased God to bruise him. The Bible said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes were we healed, and he himself bore our sicknesses in his own body. So there is a difference between sin, iniquity, and transgression. There are three different things. By our iniquity, he was bruised. So iniquity brings bruises. And then he said he was wounded for our transgression. So transgression will cause you to be wounded. Then there is a penalty for sin, which is different from the penalty for transgression and iniquity. But it was God himself that crucified his son. But he has to use circumstances, men and women, to carry out his desires. And a desire means a shadow of that which is yet to be revealed, or a shadow of things that are yet to come to pass. It was God's own decision. It was the judicial decision of eternity to have him crucified, that he might become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He came to take away the original sin of humanity and self-committed sins, iniquity and transgressions by his sacrificial blood. So it wasn't the devil that crucified Jesus. It wasn't the Jews. In the wisdom of God, the devil was working for God. Is anybody hearing me? The thing is that the devil works for God without salary and without reward. He does the will of God without reward and without pay. The Bible said if the princes of this world have known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And so if the devil knows the outcome of the things he's putting you through, he would have left you alone. If the powers of darkness had an idea, if the witches in my family had an idea that all the attempts they did on my life, are you hearing me, somebody, to take me out was going to bring me to the knowledge of the Son of God and to where I am and who I am today and what I will be tomorrow, they would have left me on the streets of Kaole, blowing my mind with marijuana, with drugs and heroin and cocaine. But they had no idea of the outcome of what they were doing. If the devil knew that attacking you will bring you to where you are today, it will draw you closer to God, he wouldn't have done it. Is anybody hearing me? Lift up your hands and shout, I hear you. I want you to believe that God has an alternative for your situation. The other day I heard the Father said that I will have mercy on whom I will. Then he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Then he said, it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, or he that went to school, or he that is educated, or he that is non-educated, but it is God that showeth mercy. Are you hearing me, somebody? It is not how intelligent you are. It is not how smart you are, because there are people smarter and intelligent than you that are not where you are. Are you hearing me, somebody? So it doesn't matter where you are. You got to remember God, because he pulls down one and he lifts up the other. Shout yes. Give somebody a high five and say, remember God. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Esther, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse. Mordecai, the uncle of this lady by the name of Esther, who was an orphan, said to Esther that if you decide to hold your peace or to remain silent and do nothing at this time of great need, enlargement and deliverance will come from somewhere else, some other place. God will send enlargement. And please note the word here. He used enlargement before deliverance. He said that God will make us bigger in our size than we are now and then bring deliverance. But as for you and your father's house, you will be destroyed. For who knows that you have come into the kingdom for such a time like this? Let me lay some foundation here. The Jews were scattered within this kingdom, comprising of 124 provinces. Stretched from Ethiopia to India, the Jews were spread within this entire empire that controlled the then world. And there was a man by the name of Mordecai who stood at the king's gate. Now, the vice president, Haman, was passing by, and it was the culture of those days that when senior ranking officers of state passes by, it was required that everybody bowed to salute and to show respect. Mordecai being a Jew, knowing that by the laws of Jehovah, that they were not supposed to bow their knee to none other but the El Elyon, but the Ancient of Days, he refused to bow when Haman ever came by the king's gates. He will not bow, and everyone else did, but he refused to. That offended Haman and troubled him and said, who designated you to disrespect and to dishonor me before others when everybody bows? And Haman was so powerful that his power was literally threatened, and he felt very insecure and defied. He felt that Mordecai stood in defiance of his authority, his power and influence, and therefore he had to do something to humble Mordecai. But the problem here that troubled me was the fact that it was Mordecai that defiled the authority of Haman and not the entire Jewish nation. It was just Mordecai. But Haman went to the king and sought for the king's seal for a decree to be established for the total annihilation of the entire Jewish race. He wanted them all wiped out because of the sin and the mistake of one man. And the reason why Mordecai said, Esther, if thou shalt keep silent because you think you are a queen at this time, because you think you have access, because you think you are secure, because you think you have some money in some Swiss foreign account, you think that your future is secured, and you and poverty is so far away, and you always be powerful and always have wealth like you have. If you think that if anything happens, because you know the king and because you have access and connection, you will survive what is coming, let me submit it to you that as for you and your father's house, if you don't help the people of God at this time, when destruction comes, God will send help from some other place, because God has a purpose for his people. God has a plan for his people. God has an agenda for his people. And God is committed to his plan for his people. So it doesn't matter what the conspiracy is. It doesn't matter what the plot is. It doesn't matter what the plan is. We will not be destroyed. We will not perish. We will not be annihilated. We will not be ashamed. God will defend his purpose. God will defend his people. But because you refused to help, because you held your peace, because you kept silence, you and your father's house will not be spared. But then he said something that troubled me, Bishop James. He said, God will send enlargement and then deliverance. Why enlargement? One man sinned and everyone else have to suffer for the consequence of one man's sin. Why? Because we are disadvantaged. We are weak. We don't have power. We don't have influence. We are broke. We are in debt. And the Bible said the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heard. And as long as you are weak, as long as you are disadvantaged, as long as you don't have access, those who have access will always lie on you and always misrepresent you and always frame you up. So Mordecai said, Esther, we don't just need deliverance. God will not just give us deliverance, because if he delivers us and we remain in our same condition, if he delivers us without enlargement, we will need deliverance again tomorrow. We will still become a victim of circumstance. But if he enlarges us and he delivers us, we will not need deliverance again tomorrow. Are you hearing me, somebody? Lift up your hands and shout, yes. A preacher was preaching on TBN the other day, and he said that he lived in a particular street in Brooklyn, New York. And he was moving with a group of friends, and one of them shot a policeman and killed him in cold blood. And all of them were arrested. And he didn't kill the man. Most of them had lawyers to defend them. He didn't have a lawyer to defend him because he didn't have the money. And his family were so broke that they couldn't raise up an attorney to stand for him. He ended up in prison for 40 years. You know why? Because he was weak. And most times when people are broke and poor and disadvantaged, whenever something goes wrong, they are always used as scapegoats. So that was the condition and the state of the Jews. So Mordecai said, I know that the reason why we are suffering what we are suffering is because we are disadvantaged. But when God brings enlargement, are you hearing me, somebody? And he makes us bigger in our size and gives us access and influence, then delivers us. We can now keep and maintain our deliverance and our dignity because enlargement has come. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sometimes I remember that Mike Tyson was arrested for a rape situation some years ago, and one of the Kennedys was also accused for a similar situation. I studied the whole trial on both sides very carefully. Mike Tyson was convicted and was sent to prison, and that particular Kennedy went free. Hello? And I concluded that if you are powerful and you are strong and you are well connected and placed in society, when people are dealing with you, they are very careful. Are you hearing me, somebody? They count the cost. They don't just get up and give an instruction. They count the cost to find out what they are coming up against before they make a move. But if you are just an ordinary person and you have nobody on your side and you have no connection and you are disadvantaged in society, anybody at all does whatever they want to do with you. And that was the condition of the Jews. So Mordecai said, before deliverance come, enlargement will come. Are you hearing me, somebody? Shout enlargement. Because as long as we lack enlargement, we will always be a victim of circumstances. Anybody can get up and make noise and we are in trouble. But those days are changing. I said those days are changing. Something is changing in the heavens. Something is changing in the environment, that those who are nobodies today are about to become somebody. Are you hearing me? Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. I said, somebody who is no voice today is about to become a voice tomorrow. Enlargement is coming. Look at somebody and say, I see enlargement coming. For this house, for this house. Say, I see enlargement coming for this house. Enlargement and a great deliverance. Use those two words. Say, I see enlargement and a great deliverance. Enlargement and a great deliverance. It is coming. It's inevitable. It is inevitable. It is inevitable. It's on schedule. Cannot be interrupted or intercepted. It's inevitable. Don't think you've taken me hostage. Oh, no, 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 no. Ah, yeah, yeah. You have not taken me hostage. I am not your prisoner. I am not your slave. God has another alternative. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. If you think you have me at ransom because of my past or what you know about my past, you are lying. Because God does not consult my past to determine my future. You know, sometimes people think they have you in their hands because of something they know about you, or something they've heard about you, or the position they find themselves in. They think they are so power, so much power, that they are untouchable, that they are so powerful that they can do anything they want to do with you, and you will always be disadvantaged. You are lying. It's a lie. It's a lie. If you think I will always be disadvantaged, it's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Esther could not comprehend where that alternative may be or could come from. I could see Esther sitting there and saying, but I'm the queen. Who else is powerful than the queen? But there were two issues here. For 30 days, Esther said to Mordecai, for 30 days, the king has not called for me. Now, even though I have favor with the king, for 30 days he has not called for me, which means that my favor with him is being interfered with. And therefore, I cannot take chances by just going to see the king by having some powerful deodorant under my armpit or some latest spices or perfumes from Egypt and put on some makeup and put on some sexy dress and I end up having my neck decapitated. So I just can't go to the king because my favor had been interfered with for 30 days. He has not called for me and had anything to do with me. Some of you, your favor with the king is being interfered with. Your miracle is being interfered with. Something is trying to interfere with your favor. But I came to tell you that enlargement and great deliverance is on the way. Give somebody a high five and say, help is coming. I want to give you the starter before we get to the main meal. Amen. I began to think, Bishop James Odifo, my pastor, Dr. Nyako, I began to ask myself, who else could be the alternative if Esther was not the only hope? Who else? Then I remembered that Mordecai, there was a plot to kill the king. And Mordecai saved the life of the king by revealing the plot to the king. And it was written in the books of remembrance that Mordecai must be honored because he saved the life of the king. And that was the only kind of decree it would take to save them under that circumstances apart from the intervention of the queen. Because if you look at chapter 8 of the book of Esther, the 8th and the 9th verse, the king gave the same seal he gave to Haman to establish the decree for the total annihilation of the entire Jewish race. He did not change the law. He didn't reverse the law. He gave the seal, his ring, to Haman, to Mordecai. And he said to Mordecai, write a new law. Write whatever you desire. Write any law you desire to replace this one. Do anything you want to do. The same weapon that the enemy used to determine your destruction, I'm giving you that same weapon to determine your deliverance. You didn't hear me. You see, Bishop, this deliverance is not going to be determined by God. God will give you the choice to determine your deliverance. You will determine the condition of your deliverance, how you want it and what you want. The king said, I have made a law, I can't change it. The only thing that needs to be done is another law to replace this law. You are the one that is in trouble, not me. This is my seal. Take it. Make any law as you desire, and it shall be established. Oh, you didn't get it. Some of you will get it tomorrow morning when you wake up. You are not getting it right now. He said, this is the seal. Take it. Take the seal. Make any law to replace the old. I see the new replacing the old. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. The Bible said, when a strong man keepeth his palace, his goods are safe. But when a stronger than him comes upon him and overcomes him, are you hearing me? Listen to what the Bible says. He said, when a stronger than him comes upon him and overtakes him or overpowers him, then he has access to all his goods. And two, then the armor or the weapon in which the strong man trusted in becomes the possession of the one that overcame him. So the same weapon that was used to determine the destruction of the children of Israel was the same weapon that was given to them to determine their deliverance. Are you hearing me, somebody? The same thing the devil have used to fight you is the same thing God is going to give you power and authority over to determine your own deliverance. Is anybody hearing me? I see enlargement and deliverance coming for you. Mordecai said, Esther, you are not the only hope we have. And I want to announce, for those of you who are in position to do things for the church, and you won't do it, for whatever reason, let me submit to you that you are not the only hope God has. You are not. Because Jesus said, if you will not praise God, he will raise up stones to sing his praises. Are you hearing me, somebody? Please don't believe that you are indispensable. God can do it without any one of us. If anybody thinks they have your life in their hand, it's a lie. Because God has another alternative. God has another alternative. Before Adam came on the scene, God had an alternative. The Bible said, the God who declares the end from the beginning. So God goes to the end. And he will finish the end of your life. Determine how your end should be. Then he backs back. Goes in reverse gear. And then he begins your life in accordance to the end of your life. And he begins to plan your life. That's why sometimes you may be in a situation and you say, God, where are you? Do something. Do something. God, I'm dying. Do something. And he won't say anything. You know why? Because he knows your end. He knows the end. Somebody say, victory at last. Oh, talk to me. Say, victory at last. Those of you who love football, maybe you watch a football match between Hasofo and Kumasi Asante Kotoko. Last week, I just came to town. I haven't watched it. I don't know the outcome of it. So I'm watching it with you. And you have watched it, and you know the outcome. And I haven't. So I see them passing the ball. And I'm very, very apprehensive, tense. No. He shouldn't have done that. He should have given it. These people, the way they are playing, they might not score. And I'm there trying to determine how the things should go. You are relaxed. Why? Because you know the outcome. God is relaxed. Are you hearing me? That we may enter. The Bible said there is now rest for the people of God. What brings you into the rest of God, Bishop James, is when you have revelation of the end. of what is happening today. Advanced knowledge of the end result of what is going on now. You know why Jesus was sleeping when the storm was on? There was a great storm, and the disciples were crying for fear, and Jesus was asleep. You know why he was asleep? He had advanced knowledge of the outcome, that he will arrive safely at the other side to set the man free. So it didn't matter what was going on right now. That wasn't the issue. The issue is the end result. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you have revelation, you know what others don't know. So you can go to sleep. When others are troubled, and they say, hey, have you heard? Have you heard the latest? Have you heard? As for this one is bearsome than the other one. Oh, this is very bearsome. There is no way they can survive this one. This one is who? This one is who? This one, hey, who? You see people panicking. But God is cool, because he knows that at the end you shall prevail. That at the end you will have your baby. That at the end you have a husband, you have a wife. That at the end you'll be happy. That at the end you have the upper hand. So it doesn't matter where you are now. God knows that at the end you made it. Look at somebody, give them a high five and say, I see you making it at the end. I see you making it. Give somebody a high five and say, read the book of Revelation. We made it. We made it. Is anybody hearing me? We did what? We did what? Uh-huh. We made it. We made it. We made it. You might be on the front row right now. And you might be ahead right now. You might be the latest in town right now. But don't be too confident. Don't be too confident of yourself. I may be on the ground right now. Maybe I have fallen right now. And I've injured myself. And you are moving. And it looks like you are the focus of everybody right now. The limelight is on you. Don't be too confident, because time changes. I said time changes. Time changes. Nothing is permanent but the word of God. Time changes. Is anybody hearing me? The other day the Bible said King Ahab of Israel was on his chariot riding to the other city, and Elijah was far somewhere on Mount Carmel. And you see, chariots in those days were the fastest means of transportation in those days. Equivalent to maybe the Mercedes BM or Jaguar, or name it, whatever, Rolls Royce, private jet, whatever. And the Bible said, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And Elijah descended from the top of the mountain to the valley and began to exercise. And suddenly, something began to happen to his knees. Hey, are you hearing me, somebody? And the Bible said, and Elijah overtook the king's chariot. Listen, I call it divine acceleration. Are you hearing me, somebody? You might think you are doing better than me right now. Fine, but don't be too confident. Don't be too confident. Don't be too confident. Because there is something called the spirit of the overtaker. Are you hearing me, somebody? There is something called restoration of wasted moments and years. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Restoration of wasted years, wasted moments, wasted opportunities. So don't be too confident. God has another alternative. Yes. Esther, if you don't help us, those of you who are in condition to do things for the kingdom and the church and won't do it, God has another alternative. If you don't do it, God will raise up someone else. Help will come from somewhere else. When Queen Vashti thought that she was almighty, and she was the queen among all the ladies of the land, she was the only lady designated, destined to be the first lady, and there was no one else who could meet her class or her intelligence. God lifted up an orphan. Are you hearing me? As an alternative to the queen. God has another alternative. You didn't hear me. I said God has another alternative. Don't be too confident. Don't be too confident. Look at somebody and say, don't be too confident. Take it easy. You see, Dr. Yaku, Adam was not the only alternative God had. God had a second alternative. Adam was the first Adam. Jesus was the second Adam. God had an alternative. God said, if Adam fail, I have a second Adam that will succeed. Are you hearing me, somebody? I came to tell you that if what you are in now is not working, there's another alternative that will work. And please understand that the alternatives God has are predetermined alternatives. They are predetermined. Because sometimes we put ourselves in situations that are not God ordained for us. And it's so difficult to pull yourself out of certain situations, especially because the church is so ignorant and don't understand the pretext and the protext and the context of the text. So they just ran, the Bible says, and ran with it without understanding the cultural circumstances that was taken in account for those specific scriptures. It's not everything in the Bible that is mentioned that is the will of God or that says God. There are things Paul said, and he said, this I say, but not I, but the Lord. And there are things he said, this I say, not the Lord, but I. You see, 150 years before, Isaiah 45 was written, and the man by the name, there was a king by the name of Cyrus. 150 years before he was born, it was prophesied, and his name was mentioned, that he will proclaim the return and the total emancipation of the children of Israel 150 years before he was born. And Bible historians claim that Cyrus was the son of Queen Esther. Study it carefully. Which means that God, before time, knew that Vashti will not be the one to produce Cyrus to fulfill the prophecy of Jeremiah. So God already had a plan in place to replace Vashti. So when the king declared his party, the queen also declared her party. And when the king called for her, she said, go tell him I'm having a party and I'm busy. It was all part of the divine orchestrations of God to bring Esther to that place. God has an alternative. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody say, I hear you. Furthermore, when Judas failed, Judas was with the apostles. Judas cast out devils, healed the sick, and worked miracles. By offense, he betrayed his master with a kiss. And men try to replace Judas. You remember? Matthias was the choice of man. And that's why you never saw him in the book of Acts or in any of the epistles saying anything or writing even a chapter, because he wasn't the choice of God. The alternative to Judas was Apostle Paul. Paul was the alternative, not Matthias. It was Paul. And that's why Paul did more than any one of them. He was the alternative to Judas. David was the alternative to King Saul. And I showed you yesterday, when the prophet said to Saul, wait for me, on the seventh day I will come to you to perform a sacrifice. And the Bible says he waited until the seventh day. And when the prophet didn't show up, he took things into his own hands. Is anybody hearing me? And the Bible said, as soon as he has ended making sacrifice, the prophet arrived as soon as he had ended doing what he shouldn't have done, what he was waiting for and expecting arrive. And listen to what the prophet said. The prophet said, what have you done? He said, it was the pressure of the people. Any leader that follows the people is a follower and not a leader. Leaders don't follow, leaders lead. The reason why the first high priest of Israel is not in Hebrews 11 was because he allowed the people to pressurize him to make a decision against his leader. And because of what he did, his name is not in the book of the heroes of faith. Hear what the prophet said to Saul. He said, Saul, what have you done? Then hear what he said. He said, the Lord would have established your kingdom forever from today. But because you were impatient and you take things into your own hands, God has prepared for himself another alternative. So your kingdom is taken from you this day and given to another. Solomon was an alternative. Are you hearing me? To the son of David, who betrayed his father, sabotaged the reign of his father, Absalom. Solomon was an alternative to Absalom. Ruth was an alternative to the wife of Boaz. Study the scriptures carefully. Bible historians claim that Boaz had a wife who was a crazy woman that troubled him. And it was said by Bible historians that the very day that Ruth and Naomi stepped foot in Bethlehem, the wife died. And the Bible said Boaz married Ruth and was comforted from his sorrows. So Ruth was an alternative. And Ruth was also married to Naomi's son that troubled her. And so Boaz was also an alternative to the crazy son of Naomi. God has an alternative. Elijah, the 7,000 prophets who had not bowed their knees to Baal was an alternative to Elijah the prophet. Everybody is worshiping Baal. I am the only one left. God said, no. I have 7,000 others who have not bowed. God has an alternative to fulfill his purpose for this hour. God has another alternative. You see, if people know, from church to politicians, to people in the private sector, to fathers, to mothers, to wives, to husbands, to kids, to whatever, in every work of society, if they know that God always has an alternative, people will humble themselves. They will stop treating people the way they treat them because of the power they have. They will stop mishandling people and misbehaving and abusing power. The Gentiles, which is you and I, were the alternative to the Jews. Because the Jews were so arrogant that they thought that it is only them. And God can't do without them. And God said, I have another alternative. I will bring in the Gentiles to replace you. I pray that there will be no need for someone to replace you. I pray that you'll be humble enough for God not to see the necessity to replace you. But if you continue in the way you are going and you don't humble yourself, I release into manifestation the alternative to you. It's in place. It's in place. Matthias was not the alternative to Judas. It was Paul. Because Paul said, the God who separated me from my mother's womb. So God knew that Judas would fail before he failed. And God knew that there has to be an alternative. And Paul was chosen before he was born. Look at somebody and say, you are chosen. Look at somebody else and say, you were chosen before you were born. And you that is hearing me on television, I want you to know that you were chosen before you were born. You are not who you are and where you are because of your intelligence or the school you attended or your connection or who you know or who you are married to. You are where you are by the eternal decrees of God. And you must never forget God. And you must use what you have for the glory of God and not for yourself. There is an alternative. Is anybody hearing me? Joshua was the alternative to Moses. When Moses became too familiar with God, that he began to defile the orders of God, God said, oh, I see. Moses, come up to the mountain. I'm going to kill you. I will perform your burial service myself. So he brought him up to the mountain. He said, lay your hands on Joshua. Hand over the baton and the mantle. Meet me on the top of the mountain. And he said, Moses, that is the promised land. You see it, but your feet won't touch the land. Up to now, nobody knows where Moses was buried. Joshua was the alternative. I pray that you will not become too familiar with God that you think you can just do whatever you please and get away with it. You must realize that God is not your co-equal, and God is not your neighbor. God is all on his own. He sits on the circles of the earth and he does as he pleases. Look at somebody and say, take it easy. Do it this way. Take it easy. Tobuasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Jesus. Jesus. I see the seal to determine a new decree and a new era being placed in somebody's hands. To determine the terms of your own deliverance. And I declare before the El Elyon, from the throne room perspective, from where all authority and power over heaven and over the earth proceeds, that from this day, you are no more a victim of any circumstances. You are no more anyone's prisoner. You are no more disadvantaged in life. You are no more the captive of anyone by the reason of your past. But you are a free being, a free agent, a warrior of change.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.